630 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Day three of the Olympics in Paris, with reports of vandalism hitting multiple telecommunications lines across France. The Park Fire in Northern California exploding over the weekend. It's now bigger than the city of Los Angeles. Renewed fears of a wider war in the Middle East after a deadly strike on a soccer field in the Israeli-controlled Golan Heights. ABC's Jordana Miller with more from Jerusalem.
Hezbollah, which has been firing on Northern Israel for months, including the Golan Heights, where there are some of the most important IDF bases. It appears that a Hezbollah rocket, that they misfired one of these, and it slammed into a soccer field Saturday afternoon where a bunch of children and teenagers were just playing soccer.
The president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, claiming to have won his third election. Opposition groups are doubting the legitimacy of the results. This is ABC News.
Fine.
Police in New York City are searching for two male suspects in a deadly shooting on Randall's Island off Manhattan. It happened near a city-run migrant shelter.
We're learning that someone shot a 44-year-old woman in the face as well as the back. Police say she was pronounced dead at Harlem Hospital. Now, according to investigators, someone also shot a 32-year-old man in the throat and a 31-year-old man in the lower back. They're currently fighting for their lives in stable condition at Harlem Hospital.
That's ABC's Crystal Cranmore. A prominent doctor's group is worried about overdiagnosis of tongue tie in infants. It's a condition they say is too often treated with unneeded surgery. The American Academy of Pediatrics, the latest society to sound the alarm about the increasing practice of cutting away tongue tissue with scissors or lasers when breastfeeding is difficult. The Academy is citing a study suggesting less than half of babies with tongue tie actually have trouble nursing. The group's encouraging doctors to consider non-surgical options. This is ABC News.
Wow, Wayne, that is a beautiful window.
It sure is, Jeff. It really tackles energy efficiency.
Sure has a nice slide.
It's one of the best screenplays I've ever seen.
They're so easy to close. I'd say it's a grand slam.
If you guys keep making those dad jokes, you're going to be a real pain in my neck.
Oh, that's a good one. Did you hear about this one, Five?
Get as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Certain restrictions apply on September 2024.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is introducing a bill to protect communities from sudden hospital closures. As James Kelly reports, it's a response to what happened in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls this year.
The new legislation is meant to protect communities from the sudden closure of essential hospitals. If passed into law, a closing hospital system would be required to notify the Department of Health and Human Services and develop a plan with public input to connect patients with accessible care. The notification would be required at least 90 days in advance of the closure. I'm James Kelly.
Baldwin is running for re-election against challenger Eric Hovde. Emerald ash borers have been found in all 72 Wisconsin counties as of Friday. The tree-killing pest was first spotted in Wisconsin in 2008. The Department of Natural Resources says one day they'll kill virtually all of Wisconsin's ash trees. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Braves are back in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Atlanta Braves tonight at American Family Field. Colin Ray on the mound for the Crew. The Brewers with a 6-2 win yesterday to avoid being swept by the Marlins. Tobias Myers giving up a home run to Miami on his very first pitch of the game. Pat Murphy and how badly they needed the W.
Yeah, it was much needed. Much needed. I thought the pitching, too. I thought Tobias didn't have his best stuff, didn't have his best outing, but he's been great for us all year and did get through four with, give up one run.
NFL. Packers putting on the pads over the weekend, and Yeah, there was a few camp fights at practice yesterday. Matt LaFleur.
Football's an emotional game, and sometimes tempers do flare, but more than anything, I just want guys to compete and keep each other safe.
Did you address it with them in a meeting Friday?
Every day. Every day.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 84, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Crude and Dom.
The Kamala Sugar High continues on the Devil's Advocates radio show, the very next one. But the ice picks are coming out for her. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. We've got Tony Walter standing by. But first, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know what? We actually did the thing, checking it out for free in-home consultation.
At your place?
Yeah.
For the patio door?
Yeah.
Cool.
Patio door and window. Want them to come on over?
Yeah.
Give us an appraisal. Do the whole thing. Give us a free consultation. Right now, they got a special deal going. Pay as low as $18 per window, $81 per patio door per month. That is a great, great way to pay it off. They complete the installation, no mess, no hassle, nothing but perfect results. Again, low as $18 per window, $81 per door per month. This will end on 7/31/2024, which is coming up. But just visit PellaWI.com today for more details.
You can afford that. $81 a month? That's nothing. You complain a lot about, okay, I just, that's a John Mino program if I ever heard one. That's great.
Thank you.
I'm happy you're getting that door.
Thank you. I got a quick text here. Sauerkraut on pizza is amazing. I just served that this weekend to my friends here in Florida, and they were amazed at the flavor. Just take a can of kraut, undrained, and put it on top. Bake at the suggested temp. Yum. Deb.
Do you? It can't just be sauerkraut pizza. You got to add some pepperoni or sausage.
Well,
or something.
Well, sounds like, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's just
get a regular pizza and put the sauerkraut on top.
All right. I'd slice some cooked brat on there. That's what I would do.
Oh, yeah,
that would
be good.
That's a good idea.
By the way, I'm going to come back here. Pizza on a pineapple on a pizza, 55% yes, 45% no. It's a big comeback for me.
Get out a little
big
bit
comeback.
More.
Tony Walters.
Well, good morning.
Hey, Tony.
Tony, do you like sauerkraut on a pizza?
Nah, no. I'm a pretty traditional pizza guy. Just the sausage and that'll do me.
Live a little.
No pineapple.
Tony, pineapple, little Hawaiian pizza. What does that do for you?
Thank you, Tony. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tony Walter.
You guys got to get out more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I guess we do. Yeah. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, guys.
Good. Good to talk to you. Did you do any mission work this summer at all in some place where it'd be like 140 degrees?
No, that was last summer. My son's actually doing a mission trip in New York City, but it was going to be too much walking. My legs are older than they were a year ago, so I passed on that one.
Where were you last year, Tony?
We were in Juarez, Mexico.
That's right.
Yeah.
How hot was that?
106 degrees building houses. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. What's your son doing in New York? What kind of mission work does he do?
Oh, a whole bunch of different things. They're doing like food kitchens.
Nice.
They worked on yesterday we're doing something about a farm related type of work where they were sifting dirt that they use for plants and a whole bunch of different things. Most of it within the city right there in New York. Yeah.
Neat.
John and I both have daughters living in New York City, so I think we'll have to get some info from you after. But
that's very good what you do, though.
It's great, and if you can teach people even those little flower beds, you know, even their 4 feet, the stuff you can grow out of there.
It's amazing how much you can grow.
Out of a 4 foot, it's amazing. Yeah, like Johnny just said, you know, from tomatoes to all these different herbs. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with that. I think that's great. He's teaching people how to do that because that's lifelong.
Yeah, he's got about 24 teenagers there with him. So
beautiful.
Good for him.
Good stuff. Right. Well, Tony, I think everybody knows your background, of course, for I don't know how many years, 40 years, Press Gazette, sports.
That's about right. Yeah.
News, a little bit of everything. And now you've gotten the bug to write some books, as I have, which is a really enjoyable. You know, people say, what do you do for a hobby? For me, it's writing books and doing interviews with people. And it's something I think you and I both enjoy. Yeah. But I'm really fascinated in this next one that you're working on. And go ahead and talk about it. And I know I've told you, but I can explain my fascination with it as well.
Well, I kept looking at the history of the Packers, and all their championships have certain identities and people attached to them. But the 1944 championship, to me, always was a sort of a unknown, because it was more of an anonymous championship. It was during the war. And you had the community coping, like every community did, with the war. But here you had a football team that ended up winning a championship. But who were these guys? Some of them were not healthy enough to be in the military, and yet they could play pro football. And so it became an interesting I wanted to look at how is the city coping with the war, like every community was, you know, raising money for, for the home front and doing Victory Gardens and different things like that. But at the same time, had an interesting diversion, and it was the Packers, and they ended up winning a championship. So, but I also am trying to combine it with 1945, because 1945 was not a championship year, but it also became a time when the league was getting serious about expanding, and the Packers were actually beginning their decline that would continue until Lombardi. So so it's just an interesting time. It's going to take me a while. It's going to take me a while to really look into what was all going on in the community, but also I'm trying to research this team, who were these players? And it's fascinating.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see just the city or the community, I should say, you know, with the NFL. And did one trump over the other? And it sounds like, you know, of course, the war, which it should, kind of was the main story. And the Packers were not a hidden story, but just didn't get the recognition.
Well, yeah, they had just a different identity. I mean, Hudson was still playing, but he was down to his last couple of years, and he kept saying, well, this is going to be his last year, but then he played again. And so they were getting players, some that were had still, like Joe Laws was still there, and then Ted Fritsch became a very important player in that team. But there were a lot of names that that just didn't stay with the Packers for that long. And, you know, they weren't career football players necessarily. Then you had Tony Cannadale, and during the 44 season, he was in the Army, but he got furloughed to come and play in a couple games. You know, a lot different than it would be today.
You know, one of their number one draft pick in, I want to say 1940 or 41, Hal Van Avery, he was number one pick out of the University of Minnesota. They had really high hopes for him, both on offense and defense. And he joined the Air Corps and got shot down over Germany, parachuted out, landed on the roof of a building, slid off, it broke his back, and never played again. And he was their number one draft pick.
Wow.
And because when I just spent so much time at the library, the Brown County Library, on the microfilm reading. Just fascinating, just reading about what was going on in Green Bay in Northeast Wisconsin at that time. So that's why I'm fascinated about your books. I actually wanted to dig a little bit deeper into that. And I would have dug deeper, except the mayor at the time had a thing where you can only spend an hour with the parking meters. So my fines got so high with the parking meters, I had to park over at the body shop, the strip joint, because there was free parking there versus at the library.
That's not true, Tony.
That's true.
It's just,
that's true.
Maybe it was 2 hours over at the strip joint.
The mayor was encouraging going to strip joints versus the library at the time.
Well, you know, more to learn at the strip joint.
I'm just saying.
Hey, Tony, what about, you said the players didn't qualify to be in the military, yet they played?
Well, it's interesting. There were some comments by Curly Lambeau talking about that some of the players couldn't pass the physical, whether it was a perforated eardrum or
eyesight
or something like this, you know. And he said for some of them, the grind of military was more severe than the grind of playing football. So it's hard for us to imagine that today with the game speeding up so much, you know, and all that. But he was saying, but a lot of teams back then, manpower was a big issue. And some teams combined, the Eagles and the Steelers in 43 and 44 combined.
Yep, the Steelers.
Yep. And they combined into one team, yeah.
I want to say that even Red Grange came out of retirement for a year or two. There's a lot of guys that were like, it's like, hey, man, we need some healthy bodies.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys would come back. I know maybe even Jim Thorpe would have been too old. But I know Red Grange was one of them. But anyway, and getting in that, you know, Tony, a lot of those guys took a lot of crap from people, though. Did you ever hear about that?
That I haven't encountered yet. But, again, I'm somewhat new into this process. So, I would suspect people say, wait, how come you're doing this and not that?
You could put even Mickey Mantle and Joe Namath are two that I remember quite well. Mickey Mantle always had knee problems. It was like born with it. Same thing in some ways with Joe Namath. And they're like, wait a minute, you can go out here and make, you know, $100,000 a year and play this game, but you can't fight for our country. And one of the things that people were saying is, well, wait a minute, make them do their service. Okay. Don't put them in a combat role, make them an orderly or medical or whatever. A lot of those guys took a lot of guff because they were still playing sports but weren't physically in good enough shape to play professional sports.
I can see that.
Yeah.
As a
how people would be.
Right.
Right.
Tony, you got these three books, and I think we're going to talk about those when we come back from the break, but how's the research going? Where are you getting your info? This is going to be a tough one.
Well, a lot of it is, again, I'm looking at newspapers, not only Green Bay, but Milwaukee. But there's, I'll shout out to Deb Anderson out at the UW Green Bay Research Center, because there's different files there that were kept, you know, of different organizations of what they were doing at that particular time. And, you know, so it's kind of right now looking for any place I can find them. I'm going to the colleges where these players played to find out who were these men. You know, obviously the colleges have their record of when they played football and when they were in college there, but they're also giving me some information. Where did they go then after they played football? Where did they become a businessman or, you know, whatever they did, just kind of,
I love that part.
A face on these people.
I love it. Tony Walters joining us. We'll be back with more about your books, and we're going to be doing a book signing together, I think, this week, Tony.
Yeah, we are.
Yep.
I think we'll get to work. Yep.
All right. We'll talk about that. We come back right after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Ready to revamp your life? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss is here to guide you. Experience the convenience of telemedicine appointments and medication delivery, making your health journey hassle-free. Experiencing weight gain, fatigue, or loss of libido? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss offers customized solutions to help you feel your best. Discover Semaglutide, a breakthrough in weight loss for just $300 a month. Visit revamphrt.com or call 920-659-0249 to unlock your potential.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. a strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. And a beautiful morning out there, 72 in Appleton, 70 in Oshkosh, 69 in Green Bay. How high is it supposed to get today, Todd?
Did you catch like that? Like 80, isn't it?
80 today?
Pretty close.
All right.
Yeah.
On our poll, pizza or pineapple on a pizza, yes, 55%, no, 45%. So that did not include Tony Walters.
Okay. It did. We
vote. It did.
Yeah,
you sure?
Yeah, because it was 50-50 at that point.
Got, okay. Okay. So.
All right. Just want to make sure that, you know, all the votes are counted.
Well, Tony just said he didn't. He's not really an anti-pineapple. He just said
he'd prefer not to
order it.
Just,
right.
Yeah. Right.
Pineapple. Yeah. So, but my pineapple was it was really good. Really good.
Yeah, okay. Talk a little bit about your other books here, Tony. Baptism by Football covers the year 1922 when the Packers lost their franchise. We're playing college players under assumed names, regained the franchise, but we're losing money. Businessmen in Green Bay got together, incorporated the Packers. Hence, I called it their actual baptism. That was when they really got serious, huh, Tony?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've said many times the Packers are a fluke. I mean, you know, if you look at all the teams the Packers played in 1922, only two of those teams were still in existence
right.
by 1925. And that was the Bears and the Cardinals. And the rest of all the other teams just kind of dissolved because, you know, they couldn't sustain it. And the Packers wouldn't have been able to sustain it either. They were losing money, but some businessmen, Andrew Turnbull was a key person there, got behind them and they incorporated. And that's why I called it baptism because it stuck.
What were, obviously the, financially, those guys put it all together. But what were the other problems? Were they not getting enough support from the fans? I mean, I'm sure the media covered them well. I mean, what, you know, what else was lacking? Because, I mean, some of those other towns, you know, Duluth and even maybe Menominee, Michigan, or some of those smaller areas, you can see maybe where it would fade away a little bit. But what was it about Green Bay that enabled them to, and again, nice influx of money, but still there had to be other things that helped turn it around.
Well, again, coming back to the word fluke, but I think it's just the right people just decided to get on board and make it last. You know, it really, and football was, for pro football, was such a new thing. Remember, the Packers, it just started in 1919. College football was the king. I mean, that's what drew all the attention. And there was not a lot of support for pro football by the college coaches. One of the reasons, of course, because some teams were using some of these college players under assumed names, which is what the Packers did, and that's why they got caught. But it was such a new thing. And for it to stick around, you just had to have the right combination. And the Packers just had the right people, Curly Lambeau being one of them. Then he got some great players and, you know, they began to establish a reputation, for the team, but also for the community and its support of the team.
You have to look at this and that it's amazing where it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
incredible.
It's quite, yeah.
It just, and back, all you hear today is, oh, the smallest market. Well, back then we weren't the smallest market. You know what I mean? Like way back, right, Tony? I mean, these other communities, yeah. we weren't the biggest market, but to survive.
But they were, I mean, like even the Bears were Decatur.
Right, that wasn't even.
The Lions were in like Portsmouth or someplace. Then there's Canton.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those like in-between type cities, right, Tony?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it evolved, and the one constant was Green Bay. they were always there. And then eventually, of course, it evolved into what the Football Network became later. And Packers, you know, they had their ticket. They were there.
And Cliff Kristol made a mention, though, that the other teams in the league didn't want to lose Green Bay because they had such a great time when they'd come to Green Bay for a weekend.
I suspect that was true, yeah.
How about the book about yourself, the Packers, and your dad, Tony? I think that's
a good one.
Spectacular.
Well, my dad was the sports editor of the Press Gazette, but from 35 to 41 when they went into the Army. But I was very. I also have the gift of my dad had kept a daily diary that he started in 1925 when he was 17, and so it takes it through the Prohibition, but also through the Depression. But also, I wanted to cover the Packers' first four championships, which are 29, 30, 31, and 36. Because, it just showed the growth of the team. And through Dad's diaries of how kind of observing, going to these games, and, of course, picking up such key players. And this was, of course, the Mike Michalski, Johnny Blood, Cal Hubbard, Vern Llewellyn days, but then later
Dillwig,
and Dillwig exactly, and I found it very curious that the day my father was named sports editor of the Press Gazette was the same day the Packers signed Don Hudson. And they became good friends. So I kind of took it through his words and his columns, but also, you know, what it was like back then. You know, in 1 month, 1929, the Packers signed Johnny Blood, Mike Michalski, and Cal Hubbard. I mean, that's not a bad take, you know.
It's incredible.
And so they became dominant. And so I've enjoyed going through that whole process.
Oh, what a great resource. Right? Yeah. What a great resource, your dad's diary. I mean, you know, because you can really even read between the lines because he was your dad. So, yeah, that's very cool. Hey, let's talk about the book signing. I want to know where, when, and this is going to be great. And you're going to have all three of your books there, right?
I will have all three of them there, the Ice Bowl book as well. Yeah, we're going to do it at Boss's in DePere there with their farmer's market on Thursday, about from 4 to 7 p.m.,
fun.
There, they do a nice job of setting it up there, and there's a nice that farmers market gathering in the back, behind the shops.
Oh yeah,
is enjoyable.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna have Lisa on to talk about it too, aren't we, Todd? Lisa from Boston
working on it.
So I'll be there with you, Tony.
Yeah, that's a great place, and
because
the Strand. I know.
Have you ever written a book?
Yes, I have.
Okay, it can be a lonely feeling when you're at a book signing by yourself.
So I always bring my wife.
So it's always good to have somebody nearby, isn't it, Tony?
What's that?
I said it's a lonely feeling sometimes being at a book signing by yourself.
Well, I'll sit there and talk to you, John.
There you go.
I appreciate that.
John's excited about it.
Tony, hey, Tony, one last quick thing. You want to know the number one thing I'm so jealous of sports writers like your dad?
And what's that?
Riding on those trains to Cleveland or someplace for a couple of days and playing cards and having a few beverages doesn't that sound like a great way to travel back in those days?
Yeah, it certainly was a different atmosphere, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'd love reading about those days.
And how close they got with the players, there's just true friendships. So, especially with Don Hudson. Yeah.
Yep. Well, Tony, thank you very much, my friend. See you Thursday at Boss's at the DePere Farmers Market. You and I will be doing a book signing, and really looking forward to it. And I just can't wait for your next one to come out.
Okay, guys.
Great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tony. Take care. See
you. Bye.
All right, when we come back, Rob Domofsky will be joining us back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Heavy rains across Wisconsin have significantly impacted bug populations. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you with the Midwest Farm Report on a Monday. There's an insect in particular that can wreak havoc in both farm fields and your home garden. We'll talk about it next.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
Wisconsin's state entomologist P.J. Leash says that with the heavy rains that we've seen this spring and summer, he has seen more earwigs. These insects can be problematic for both farmers and gardeners.
A few things stand out to me that I've been seeing some issues with, both in crop fields but also in home gardens and in ornamental plantings and yards, so flowers and trees and shrubs and things like that. And a couple of things that stand out to me would be some pests like earwigs, which are mostly active after dark, and they can chew notches in leaves. And so if you are a farmer or a gardener and you look at your plants and you can't figure out what's causing the damage, one suggestion I have been throwing out there to folks is head out after dark with a flashlight or a headlamp, because earwigs can cause damage after dark.
P.J. Leash is Wisconsin's state entomologist. He's also known as the Wisconsin Bug Guy. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news next.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Well, it's official. The first grant recipients for the Agricultural Road Improvement Program have been named, and the money is on its way out. $50 million is going to help rebuild local roads that carry nearly 11 billion pounds of agricultural goods every year. Wisconsin Farm Bureau President Brad Olson says a farmer's largest hurdle to getting products to market is often the road at the end of their driveway. These grants can help remedy those problems. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation got applications for five times the amount of available funding. Wisconsin Farm Bureau encourages growers and local governments who didn't get funding in this round to apply for another $100 million that will become available this fall. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This weather update is brought to you by your boat club, Oshkosh's premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. When you're serious about fun, shop your boat club, located at 1232 North Sawyer Street.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 84, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
When it's time for better storage, Dakota is the solution. Menards carries a variety of ways to organize your home, including Dakota Cube Storage Organizers. They're great to fight clutter, and with several options available, there's a Dakota Cube Storage solution to fit any style. Save big money on Dakota Organizers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. 24. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The talk.
Coming Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back here on a good-looking Monday morning. Thanks to Tony Walters for joining us. Talking about his new book, let's stick with sports. Rob Domofsky.
Rob, $55 million? Is it worth it?
I mean, the worth it, I don't think, is relevant, Jim, just because, like, that's what the market is. Like,
yep.
You know, I mean, what other choice did they have? I think the answer to that question is they had no other choice.
All right. In 4 years, I was at the EAA with a friend of mine who is not as knowledgeable as you, but boy, does he follow the Packers, a financial guy out of Sheboygan. And he is not convinced that this guy's, you know, the guy yet. And he's glad it was just 4 years because if we made a mistake, I don't know. What do you think about the 4 years? You think that was a good amount, or we should have got him longer?
I mean, the longest they would have gone would have been 5 because the way the salary cap works is that you can only prorate the signing bonus over 5 years. And in fact, that's what they're doing because he has this current year is 1 and then there's 4 more after that. So that's probably about what it was going to be. I totally get the, you know, is he worth it? Should they have done it? The only other option would have been starting over with a new quarterback. And they've invested, you know, so much time into this, and they like what they've seen, you know, in the 3 years behind the scenes that he didn't play. Plus the you know, most important thing was how he finished last season.
Right.
Like you wouldn't be doing this deal if last season was flipped, right? Like if the first 8 games he had 18 touchdowns and 1 interception and they were, I guess, what would it have been? They were 8-2 and then he finished 2-5. Like you would, but the fact that it started out where he was 2-5 and struggled, but he turned it around and they, you know, finished the way they finished and made the playoffs. And I think that's, you know, that's why this deal had to be done. You know, because the player himself wasn't going to play for $11 million this year. It just was never going to happen. And from a team perspective, you weren't going to say, okay, well then sit out because that would just be starting over. So, this is the price of doing business in the NFL when you have a quarterback that you want to keep. Otherwise the only other option is to start over. And obviously they didn't want to do that.
Wow. That makes a lot of sense. And Johnny had said that that's the price of doing
and
business.
It's Monopoly money.
Well, yeah. When the NFL, you know, when you get, what it was, $250 million every year from the NFL for the TV money.
Yeah.
You're right, John. It is.
Yeah. And another thing though, too, it's like, okay, if this young guy performs the way he did from the start, the way he did the second half last year, this could be a really great football team. It really and truly good. It has to, but then you look at other teams. I don't know if it's the Colts or whoever. It's like, okay, we're going with Gardner Minshew as our starting quarterback. It's like, you're not going to win. You're not. I mean, you got to have a stud at that position. Don't you, Rob?
Yeah. I mean, that it all starts and ends there. There's no question about it. And you know, there's so much optimism about this team. It's going to be the youngest team in the league again, most likely, which it was last year. And you know, the thing about it is you look at every skill position player on offense, now that Aaron Jones is gone, every single one of them still has a year or more left on their contract. So this is not like, okay, this is the last go at it or whatever. This is just the beginning of the window. You know, I mean, you got Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson who are in year 3. You got Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed who are going into year 2. Josh Jacobs just signed a 4-year deal, you know, running back. The two tight ends, Musgrave and Kraft, are just entering their second year. This group is going to be together for quite some time. And that was the idea that Brian Gutekunst had when, you know, it was time to turn the thing over to Jordan Love, is let's build a team around him that's going to be of similar you know, age and similar contract situations as far as being on rookie deals, and let them grow together and see where we can go.
We're talking with Rob Domofsky from ESPN.
That's incredible. Just incredible how Green Bay has probably hit the trifecta. You know,
it really is.
I mean, it really is. And
I agree.
I don't know
if he turns out to be close to a Favre or a Rodgers, even close, and they get deep in the playoffs and whatever. I can't think of a team, and I've followed the NFL pretty closely for a lot of years. I can't think of a team that would have scored with three quarterbacks at that level ever. Can you, Rob?
No, I can't. I mean, the 3 year, it's tough enough to get two of them, let alone to, you know, apparently hit on a third one in a row. I mean, it's possible they could have, you know, they could have 40 years or more of basically just three
all
quarterbacks,
pro quarterbacks. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I just got to say, Rob, and you know these players, you know, much better than most people. It's great as someone who used to be the mayor that maybe again someday to have somebody like with his personality. He seems like one of the nicest guys.
Who's that? Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want a diva. You don't want, I mean, you really want someone that kind of represents your community. And like I've never met the guy, but what I read about him and is just, you know him. Is he what he comes across as?
He's super polite. He's super, super, you know, even keeled, respectful. My only argument with him would be, and I guess after covering Aaron Rodgers, it's okay, but he's a tad boring, you know, to cover. But you know what? After the last guy, a little boring isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world.
You know, we had him up at the Packer game, or excuse me, at the high school game, I think last year and the year before, or what either. But anyway, up in the press box, just as polite to every person in that box, didn't big
time it.
Signing kids would throw him up the footballs that were, they were throwing foot, and they were throwing him up right through our booth with Ted and I to him, and he was signing him and throwing him back. Wow. And I mean, just, you know, it's like there's just a genuineness to him. He enjoyed being at a high school. And he talked about how much he loves going to high school football games and, you know, about how much he loved his high school days and just one of those kind of guys. So I hope it never changes because, let's be honest, Rob, with both the other guys, something did change over the years. Can't quite put my finger on what or why, but wouldn't you agree they both changed?
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. And I think with you know, with Favre, it may have been that, you know, he became so much older than everybody on the team, right?
Yeah.
Like there weren't a lot of, you know, a lot of his peers and, you know, from an age standpoint and who knows with Rodgers. I mean, really and truly who knows.
Yeah. How, when you look at this team, this young team, and I hated the thought of Aaron Jones going to the Vikings. I hated that thought, but, draft-wise, it's so early, you can't say anything, but just from everything, I watched that kid at USC. He caught my eye. I always watch the ASU games that are on at, like, midnight, and the game he had against ASU, I remember thinking to myself, holy crap, this guy, I mean, he was like Reggie Bush in his prime at SC, and if he can take some of those skills to this level with this kind of an offense, this kid could be something.
You're talking about Marshawn Lloyd, the running back, right? Yeah. So he hasn't practiced yet.
I know.
In camp. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I think it might be a hip injury. But he looked like a guy who, you know, is or can, you know, potentially be exactly what you said. I thought, you know, coming out of the offseason program, that there was a chance he could give A.J. Dillon a real run for the number two running back spot. And not saying he can't now, but at some point, you know, it's only a week into practice.
Right.
But at some point, you got to get out there and do it. You and I have seen over the years, you know, tons of guys come in with promise, and then they get an injury early, and it just never seems to work out. Hopefully, that for him, that's not the case. But yeah, he's dynamic. There's no question about it. And I think they need to, you know, they want to see him on the field as soon as possible to see where things could go. You know, speaking of AJ Dillon, he looks almost like a different guy in terms of his body. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's still got the massive legs and calves and quads and all that, but he has really kind of revamped his, he's not a chubby running back anymore. He's lean up top, and you know, he looks a lot different and better than he has in the past too. So they could be, you know, sitting pretty well at running back. Even though, you know, obviously losing a guy like Aaron Jones, who I would argue was, you know, their most important player on offense last year, other than the quarterback, because if you just look at the numbers when Aaron Jones was playing versus when he wasn't, you know, how they fared.
Lynn Dickey always said the worst thing that happened to the Green Bay Packers when he was a player was Eddie Lee Ivory getting hurt those 2 years. He said it's the only player in his life that when he would take a snap, he would have to go as fast as he can to get the ball out to hand it up, because Eddie Lee Ivory would hit that hole so fast, it was mind-boggling. He said he could have been so good, and if they would have had a running game back then, that would have taken the pressure, because nobody paid any attention to the Packer running game. They just went after Dickey on a constant basis, and they never had that threat at running back. One player sometimes, he said, can make such a difference in an offense, you can't believe it.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, like, you can look at, too, you know, like with the Packers last year, and you're, you know, when Christian Watson's healthy, how different their offense is versus when he's not.
You know, that A.J. Dillon, wasn't he a little bit on the bubble? Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
And then, but I'll tell you what, there's another good guy that were at this fundraiser for the Children's Museum, and he does other stuff in Green Bay, too. But, you know, selfishly, from a community standpoint, I was really glad that they retained him.
Yeah. And I mean, basically, you're right, Jim, about, you know, the bubble. And you know, he's not for sure, you know, on the roster as it is, because he basically signed a 1 year contract with almost no guaranteed money, which tells you what the market was for him, and it wasn't much. So this is a hugely important year for him, you know, to kind of reestablish himself. Because look, he had a disappointing year. He had plenty of opportunities when Aaron Jones, you know, was hurt, which he was, right, you know, quite a bit, which is probably part of the reason that they didn't bring him back, or at least wanted to bring him back at a lower salary that he didn't want. So Dillon's got a lot to prove too. So, you know, it's always interesting to see how guys react in years like this when it's sort of a prove it year.
And I want to say one thing. You mentioned Gutekist. He made, and Jim, you've been in business all your life. Sometimes the biggest things that impact others is what happens to somebody else. And what I mean is Gutekist has not been shy to say, nope, we're moving on. Coach, you're fired. Coach, and LaFleur, the same thing. I mean, it's not all, you know, lollipops and sunshine over there. If you're working for them, man, you better produce, because they don't have a big, a lot of slack in that rope, is there, Rob?
No, and that's the game, right? I mean, that's the business now. That's how the successful teams operate. And right or wrong, that is the way it goes, you know, in this deal.
As it should. I mean, right? I mean, you're in there to win.
How have you produced today?
We don't run an adult daycare. You know, you got to produce. But, hey, we're going to go to a break, but I just got to get your comments on the Jets. What do you think about all that? Do you want to comment on Aaron Rodgers? I still follow that. I'm one of those guys that every time something pops up on my, I read it, and I'd like to just delete that thing, but
I gotta be honest, Jim, I don't really pay a lot of attention to it. I mean, I see, you know, he missed the mini camp,
right?
He was fined for it, and then he said, oh, it's just, they just randomly assigned, well, these days are the mini camp and you have to be here, and I was here for the other days. Well, every team in the league has their mini camp at the last weekend of the offseason program. I don't, that's about the only thing. And then I saw his house is still for sale, which, interestingly enough, I get by there every once in a while. I've never seen a for sale sign in front of his place. Now, maybe when you have a house like that, you don't put a for sale sign up there. I don't know if people know where it is or not. I'm not going to say, but there is no for sale. There has never been a for sale sign in front of that house. So I say that only because Rodgers
drama
say things that maybe aren't necessarily true.
And even though you have 6 months off every year to do whatever you want, you can only go to Egypt 1 week a year.
Exactly.
It's the only time you can ride a camel in Egypt is that 1 week. It's the only time.
All right. Let's go back to the Packers.
Yeah, all right. Rob, can you stick around for another few minutes or no?
No, I've got something.
Gotta go.
7:55 here. Okay.
Rob Demoski, it's always great having you on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
I always got to ask this question. How's your son doing at Lawrence?
Great. They just got back from Greece, and in fact, I went too, although it was not during the mini camp. they did one of those foreign trips where you can play like three exhibition games.
Yeah.
Greece is an incredible place, by the way. If you ever get a chance to go to the islands like Santorini, I've never seen water so blue in my life.
Awesome. Rob Domofsky, you're the best. I truly appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. We'll be seeing you.
Thank you. Maria Parmigiani joining us back after this.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Don't ever set me free. I always want to be by your side. Girl, you really got me now.
Hey, welcome back. Demato and the Mayor here on 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS. Civic Media app, of course, on a beautiful day. Once again, 73 in Green Bay, 72 in Appleton on Chicken Wing Day, Lipstick Day, Tiger Day, Rain Day, Lasagna Day, Marine Week. Very nice. A lot of stuff going on this day. Very special thanks, Tony Walter and Rob Domofsky. That was fun. As we mentioned, I'm going to be doing a book signing with Tony this week at the DePere Farmers Market at Boss's News, which I so miss from being downtown Green Bay. I loved that store so much, and now living here, I would be able to walk right across the street to it.
I know.
That is my favorite store in the world. Greatest bookstore ever. And every magazine you'd ever want to find. It's just great. Just phenomenal.
And those, even though they're small businesses, those are part of your fabric.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope they're doing well over there.
First
that's
book signing I've ever done
people.
In my life was there.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Question for you guys.
Yes, sir.
So something kind of big happened on this date in 1981. It was a media frenzy. Every network carried it. It was not something that happened in America, but it happened on this date in 1981.
Was it like, not Farm Aid, was it We Are the World?
Nope.
Reagan was...
So it did not happen in America.
Political?
It was not political.
No.
But it was the biggest thing. Like, it was an all-day event on TV. You could not get away from it.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
It happened in
not
England.
Get away from it.
19.
The marriage?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Prince Charles and Lady Diana got married on this date in 1981.
You know, I remember having my TV. Remember you have TV Guide? Yeah. And I remember thinking they were on the cover. I remember thinking to myself, I wonder if I should save this. I wonder if this would be worth anything now. How can we look up what would the TV Guide?
But
try to look that up,
John. I will.
Yep. But you know what?
I remember thinking, okay, I got to save this.
That was a big deal. And my sister, one of my sisters, lived in Europe and was just crazy about Princess Diana. And it was 7 hours later, so she got up at like, it was like 2 a.m, right? Because it was, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like 7 hours later there, and she set her alarm. I'm like, I'll just watch the replay. But yes, a lot of people did that. That you're right.
You're right.
That was huge, huge deal. And wow.
I thought she was so pretty. It's incredible. Just so pretty versus what he...
And down
had on the
earth,
side,
right?
She was just great.
Well, what?
What do you had on the side?
Well, yeah.
Camellia.
Camellia, yeah.
Camellia.
But
Camellia.
He looked.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the that's the TV guy.
Yeah.
I would take Princess Diana
now,
or
my,
Camellia every day of the week of my lifetime. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
What? Nope.
No, Don, he loved Camellia.
It's Camilla, but yes.
Okay, in the words of Tina Turner.
What?
What's love got to do with it? Just saying.
No.
My God.
Do you remember?
You could sit there and say, okay, I got you here or I got you here. It's like, no.
Yes.
Guys, quick pull. Guys,
no.
Only
come
quick
on.
Pull.
Don't.
Guys, only
don't,
quick
don't,
pull.
Okay.
Lady Di or Camellia?
Looks.
I'm just saying, Lady Di or Camellia.
Looks over love. Only. We'll just call it what it is. Looks over love.
Yes, whatever you want to call it.
That's crazy, John.
No, it's not.
I'm just, I you know, how that was whole all forced and stuff.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's arranged marriage. You don't, that doesn't work. No, you know. No.
I know. No, I know.
No, I'm not saying you know.
I didn't know what you're
John Myra doesn't John. Know. You don't know. I'm talking about, you know, internally, one would know. That's what I meant to say. No, I didn't mean you would
all
know.
Right. All right.
No, you don't know. You just looks.
All right.
Okay. For the long term, and that's the way you have to look at this, John, Diana or Camilla, long term.
Yeah.
You would go with Camilla.
Yes. Okay. No, Diana. I would go with Diana. No, not Camellia. For anything. I wouldn't have lunch with Camellia.
Oh.
I'm serious.
Okay.
So far, 100% Diana. 100%.
Okay, come on,
I mean,
you guys.
She just looks evil.
Camellia?
Yeah.
Well, you're thinking
have
of
you ever
that,
seen her
that,
smile? Ever?
Yeah, you're thinking of that. Camellia, the cat lady.
Whatever. No. 100% Diana.
But then why did
she was gorgeous. She was nice. She had great hair. It was always in place. Yeah.
No. I just like, you know, she was great with her kids.
Great with her kids.
She wasn't scared to get out there
no.
and be part of well, the then, common people.
Yeah,
you
so
know?
Then, exactly.
Well, then what happened?
Huh?
Then what happened?
I don't know.
He didn't want her.
Got a text here from Gizmo. Hello, this is Gizmo. Love will always triumph over any other emotion or feeling, especially the way somebody looks.
There you go.
Okay.
Gizmo? So I guess he's saying Camilla.
Oh, that's one, Gizmo. Okay. Congratulations. There you go. Hey, Camilla, congratulations. You got one vote. Wow.
Okay.
What?
John, that's... Okay. All right. You're putting on a show. That's not... You wouldn't take looks over love. You wouldn't. You shouldn't. For anything. I mean,
he
whatever.
Should have stood
what,
up to
what do
the
I
family
know?
And said, I'm not going to marry Lady Diana. That's what he
exactly,
should have said.
Right.
Or exactly. I'm going to take this not so attractive woman instead. Just saying.
What if the king, he's a king now.
I yes, bet Prince, what Prince he, Philip would no, have been not, like,
yeah,
what?
He's king. He's king.
He's king.
Yeah. Do you see how much money he makes?
No.
Oh, my God. He just got a new allowance or
no,
something.
No, that kid. You're talking about the kid.
Oh, is it the kid?
The kid just got an allowance.
Oh, I thought, okay.
Yeah. No.
Wow. They make some serious coin.
They do.
Coin.
Yeah.
Well, we should have got into that.
That's that whole, from God on down, that's the problem with that whole thing. That's one of the reasons we're independent.
Do they have any actual power?
Yeah, they call, what is, it's nothing like you think it is. But you know what they are, Johnny? They generate a tremendous amount of tour. That's like the Packers. I mean, have you been over there? All you do is go to the to
no.
see. Okay, you know.
I've been in the airport, and that's it.
But the tourism, I don't know. I got to believe that they're profitable for London.
Well, I can imagine that. But like during the war, when Winston Churchill was kind of running things, did the king have anything to say about it?
There's certain things in...
Don't they approve them?
There's certain things that... And they don't really have a say, but there's certain things they have to do for legislation and all that kind of stuff to go through. So when there was a new prime minister over there...
Okay.
They have to...
Oh,
you
okay.
know, all that kind of stuff.
I think they got to, like, approve it or something, but they don't do... Yeah.
They would never say no.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
But it's not done
it's ceremonial.
Until...
Kind of like the Packer Board.
That's funny.
Guess we're not that different over here.
That's a good analogy. The revenue generator and the tobacco board.
Rubber stamp. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Maria Parmigiani will be joining us back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Earl Ingram.
tune into the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll react to the news from the weekend and talk about the issues impacting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.